Uh-oh.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Goody wouldn't have got him if he was 27. No.
He would have put him in a nursing home.
Correct. 35. Good one. There you go. That's the better line. That was well done, Molly.
So don't call him a fan.
Fans are short for fanatics. It's media being too, I would say, unbiased or unemotional.
It's Jason Wilde on Molly and Jim.
And we are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. And Jason, we got a lot of Packers stuff, but there was a media thing that popped up yesterday, and you, as a reporter, I thought could put some insight into this. So I'll share this for our fans. Maybe I'm sharing this to you for the first time, but Bruce Levine, a reporter down in Chicago, covers the Cubs. And he accidentally tweeted out a text message that people assume, pretty rightly, that was meant for Craig Counsell. And the text message calls the other parts of the Cubs organization Tweedledee and Tweedledum. He deleted the tweet very quickly, and he has apologized to the Cubs brass. But what's the most embarrassing thing that you've accidentally or almost shared or has shared in that way? Or have you never made that mistake?
That's a great question. I did not see that. One of the issues in the early days of Twitter, when it was actually good before it was ruined, and Tausch loves it when I say that. He even dropped a Elon Musk reference on me today during our show, which he did. Look, I don't. Again, we're not here to do politics. However you feel about Elon Musk and Doge and all the other stuff he did. He ruined Twitter, okay?
He ruined all those things. Yes.
That's all. We don't have to talk about anything else that he's done and his cars and whatever else. And ketamine and everything else.
Cybertruck's ugly. I'll just put that out there.
I couldn't agree more, but again, I don't want to get political. But in the early days of Twitter, like in the very early days, you would get a text notification when you got like mentioned. Okay, like this is like 2009, 2010, and I know for a fact that there were times where I replied to the text message, and if you reply to the text message, it was a post then on Twitter.
Oh.
Which I'm glad they eliminated that, because that happened more than a few times, because I thought I was replying to a text message, and instead I was replying to a tweet, so that was one of the good things that they did pre-Elon, was get rid of that. But, yeah, I'm sure that there were some instances of that. Now, the worst one was, and I am by no means perfect, but there was an instance with our transcription pool with one of my colleagues who was just, I don't want to use any profanity on the radio, but he was kind of a you-know-what. And there was he did something, I don't even remember, it was like 10 years ago now. But I replied to the group and ripped the guy. Like, you know, we include him in this group, and he's such a ding-a-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba. And
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
I got private email saying, hey, he's included on your reply, right? So that was the one. I think that's the one instance I can remember. But I will say this, and you know, Tausch got after me a couple weeks ago when he wanted me to say something inflammatory about my off-the-record conversations with Keyshawn Nixon, and then Cheesehead TV flipped it, even though I really didn't say anything. But, like, when you have sources, like, that's a really important part of the job, is to not burn them.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, and, you know, Craig Counsell, like Matt LaFleur or Mike McCarthy, or, you know, I think every coach I've covered, you know, I always had their phone number. Now, they didn't always answer, right?
Yeah.
And that was sometimes before text messaging even. But, like, that's a oof. Because here's the thing, and maybe you guys talked about this already, but, like, not only did he burn himself by putting that out there the way he did, but on top of it, it makes you wonder what Craig Counsell thinks of whoever he's referring to, right?
Right.
If he feels that comfortable to say that to Counsell.
Without a doubt. Yeah, and so like that kind of stuff is always fascinating to me. So I appreciate you, you know, sharing that with us. But I was telling Molly this a while ago, and I think you were a little bit surprised. Maybe you don't remember. Was that, like, I knew for a fact, it wasn't my source, that a team I covered, the source for a lot of the reporters was the general manager.
Oh, and you did tell me that.
And you were surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, like, people who were better than me at the job, when I would talk to them, like, if they were, like, teammates, they would let me know, like, this is the source. And so, Jason, I'm not asking you to reveal sources, but, like, that's not shocking that very high up people with different organizations are more than willing to spin the story how they want it spun. That's how I would imagine Schefter and Shams and others get a lot of this, is by making friends with everyone.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, obviously, they straddle the line between, they're more information merchants, right? And they, and it goes between, like, they get teams that share information, because then they, like, by the way, one of the things I've seen Adam start doing now, which I never understood why these agents didn't do it from the jump, was, like, instead of saying, oh, according to a source, like, now he says, you know, such and such, Rutledge and Brown Sports Agency told me that it's a 4-year, $92 million deal. Like, get the free advertising,
right,
to Adam Schefter's followers, right? So, look, first of all, I'll be happy to burn some of my sources, because everybody knows who they were back in the day. But, like, Ted Thompson never went off the record, like, ever. Like, not even during the Favre thing. Like, now, did other people do it for me? Yes. And that was part of it. Like, when they brought in Ari Fleischer and all this other stuff, like, that was, like, Bob Harlan didn't think that was necessary. Like, that was nonsense.
Right.
But what I would say is that, like, when it came to personnel stuff, like, one of my favorite stories about when Paula and I were dating was that, and it was still fairly early, and that's how I knew, like, I married her for a bunch of reasons, obviously. One being that she was willing to marry me, but
it's an important one.
We were supposed to go to dinner, and it was the night that the Packers were working on a trade for Randy Moss. And I think people forget that the Packers were legit in that. Like, everyone likes to, you know, because Favre was so pissed and everything else, but the Packers were legit in that. And Reggie McKenzie was their point person with their negotiations with the Raiders, because he had been a Raider. And so Reggie, it was Elliot Wolf, it was actually, frankly, Goody for much of his career before he was the GM. Now I don't get anything from him, but I think he may give other people stuff. And it was John Schneider and then John Dorsey. So those were my kind of five guys, like the burger chain. But Ted didn't give you anything. So, and what I would argue is it allowed us to more accurately inform the fan base, because if Ted had had his way, everyone would believe that the Packers made no effort to acquire Randy Moss, which was just not true. In fact, they had an agreement for a fifth-round pick, and then the drawback was that they could not get Randy Moss to agree to a two-year deal, because they basically said, look, we want you on our team. Favre wants you on this team. Like, we want you to sign for 2 years. We want you to adjust your contracts. You're here for 2 years. And that was a stumbling block. And then New England swooped in with a fourth round pick and saying, we'll make it a 1 year deal. And then he ended up getting paid by them anyway, right? So that was, but that was all like sources who gave me that intel. The other one that I always tell is when the Packers had an agreement for a trade for Tony Gonzalez. Because Schneider was the point man. He had worked in Kansas City, and Carl Peterson was the general manager, and they had a deal for a third-round pick at the trade deadline for Tony Gonzalez. And then 5 minutes before the deadline, Carl Peterson told Schneider, no, it's got to be a second-round pick. And Schneider went to Ted and he's like, hey, now they're asking for a second. And Ted said, no, we had an agreement. If they're going to welch on it, we're not doing it. And it was to such a degree that if you go back and look in 2007 at the trade deadline, because I know I used it in my story too, Tony Gonzalez, talking to the reporters in Kansas City, told everybody that he was informed he was being traded to the Packers. And then they reneged on it. And so then the following offseason, he was traded to Atlanta, had a great second act there, and ends up in the Hall of Fame. But that's the one time where Ted was mad, because he knew Schneider was my guy. Because he had been my guy even when Mike Sherman was the coach and GM. But he got after Schneider a little bit because Schneider just told the truth. Like, we had a deal and these guys reneged on it. and Ted didn't want him making the Chiefs look bad. And Shire was like, they deserve to look bad.
Right?
That was completely bunk what they did. So the long story, which obviously was very long, the long story short is there is value in that for teams. And I'm sure that whatever, you know, Craig Counsell shares with the beat guys at times off the record is helpful. Because it's number one, our job is to inform fans. Like Big Voice Guy with the "don't call him a fan" in the entry, which I think is a little bit stronger. I don't mean to like make it sound like it's a bad thing, so maybe we can change the tone slightly. But like, it's my job to get as much information to our listeners and our viewers and our readers and everybody else. And when you have people that can give you the backstory, so you don't have to say it on the record. Ted Thompson does not want to say on the record, "Yeah, Carl Peterson screwed us." But it's worth having that information out there, but you have to do it in the right way. And I think most of my experience, anyway, that's happened.
Jason, to the Packers, what are your thoughts on Jordan Love not being on ESPN's top 10 quarterback list?
So I don't want to use recycled material on you, Molly.
Okay.
I don't. But obviously this has been a pretty hot topic, and I really like this analogy. You know, I work with Touch every day. Thankfully, I'm getting a break for the last few days. But he's the king of the analogy, and I would never – he is undisputed. Like, he is the GOAT. Not all of them land, but most of them, they're always really good. And I would say this about this whole quarterback nonsense, is that the first five are the first five. And I don't think there's anybody to quibble with there. Mm-hmm. Like, even though, and I think the world of me at times, we've been friends for a long time, I am 1,000% respectful of her, but she loves all those advanced analytics numbers, right? Like, she watches film, too, don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But, like, there's that clip where she's talking on NFL Live, and she says, QBR... DVOA, EPA, like, it was, like, I didn't know if I was listening to her talking about football or, like, different cabinet positions in the government. Like, she loves all those advanced numbers. And I'm more of the eye test. And what I would argue is, with my analogy, that you've got the top five, and then from, like, six, because even Dak Prescott I'm not sure about, right?
Mm-hmm.
To 15 or 16, because that's how deep they went with the honorable mentions. It's basically when you go to the ice cream shop, what do you like?
Yeah.
Like, all the ice cream is good, right? Nobody, I mean, unless you're lactose intolerant, everyone loves ice cream. And now it's a question of what's your favorite flavor? I'm a mint chocolate chip guy or a cookies and cream guy. I don't want chocolate-based ice cream. But maybe other people really like it. So when I look at Jordan Love, I have him higher than Caleb Williams. I have him higher than some of the other guys that were on the list ahead of him. At the same time, other people who like different type of ice cream like Brock Purdy better or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it is list season. I'm certainly taking part in that with my countdown of the 20 most important Packers, which I'm just going to turn it to 25 next year, given all the grief I get when I combine people. But the bottom line is that Jordan Love has an opportunity this season, and that is to change the narrative from, yeah, he's good or he's pretty good or he's got a lot of potential to be great, to actually doing it. And I saw Danny Zetterman today from our ESPN Chicago team, and I stand by my position of wanting Caleb Williams to be good and the Bears to be good because it makes that so much more interesting. We've already seen that to be the case. But I think it's time for Jordan Love to elevate to being as good as I think he's capable of being. And that's 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 4,000 yards, a couple of huge fourth quarter comebacks, winning a division, winning a playoff game. And then after that, I've always believed you win one playoff game. After that, it's really, truly any given Sunday.
That's a lot. That's a lot on the to-do list.
It is, and it's. I agree with you on it. It is a lot with the eye of the beholder, but I think the other part of it here with whether it's Caleb or Jaden Daniels, there's a bunch of quarterbacks in there, but Jordan seems to have – he gets better in the margins every year, but other QBs are making big jumps, so I don't necessarily even say that Jordan Love isn't doing his job. There's just other good QBs coming in that are just coming up even faster. But the interesting thing for me is that if I was going to pick a quarterback that didn't belong in the top 10 off of ESPN's, and I think Molly's with me on this as well, I just would have bumped Caleb up to 9 and Jordan Love at 10 and left Jared Goff out of it. Because in no world is Jordan Love the third best quarterback in the NFC North. And I think him and Caleb are going to have battles to be the best, not just in the NFC North, but the NFC and NFL for years to come.
Yeah, the problem with Jared Goff is that, back to the ice cream shop, he's vanilla, right? And
yes.
There's nothing wrong with vanilla. And if you enjoy vanilla, and maybe you get a little sprinkles once in a while or some hot fudge or something on it. But, like, the problem with Jared Goff, and there's a fair criticism, and I like him more than other people do because I like vanilla ice cream more than other people do. But, like, it's when he doesn't have the improvisational part of the game that other guys do, right? Like, Caleb Williams has it up the wazoo. Like, his problem is he's not enough like Jared Goff on all the easy stuff, right? And and Jared Goff, if you throw off his timing and you pressure him, he had one game where he threw, like, 5 picks, right? Like, so that's the drawback with him. I just, you know, Mina was pushing back on, you know, the Jordan Love narrative that he turns the ball over too much. Again, I don't know where that narrative is.
Yeah.
Because even the first year that he was the starter, he only threw 11 picks, and most of them were in the first half of the season. So I don't see that as a fair criticism of him.
So, Jason, I got a hard-hitting question for you. Because didn't we do this on the show about our host or whatever?
Ourselves, yeah.
Ourselves with ice cream. So I'm going to have you do this with quarterbacks in the NFC North. I need you to give the type of ice cream they are.
Okay. All right. I got to call up. I'm using my phone to talk to you. I got to call up my favorite Ben and Jerry's flavors.
Okay. All right. That's a good choice. So we'll start with Kyler Murray. So,
here's the thing. Like, he feels like an acquired taste to me.
Okay.
So, like, maybe a butter brickle.
Okay.
Brickle? What's brickle?
Butter brickle.
That was crunchy.
I'll look it up.
It crunchy. Sounds, but I feel like it's like brittle. Like peanut brittle.
I think it does. I think it's got brittle in it.
Yeah.
Brittle brickle.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound great. Gets stuck in your teeth.
Yeah.
The best part is Paul and the girls are listening to this going, what the hell do you do for a living?
All right, let's move
talk
on
about
to
ice cream.
Well, you had Jared Goff's vanilla. That one's easy. So,
well, I'm gonna bump him up. I'm gonna make him butter pecan.
Okay. All right.
That way we got two butters in there too.
All right.
Famous amongst the olds.
All right, let's go. We'll say Jordan Love for last. And we'll go with Caleb Williams.
Ooh, Caleb Williams. There's a flavor that Ben and Jerry's has. Riley, help me out on this. Get Googling. It's like a combination of both, like, cookie dough and brownie batter.
Oh, goodness.
Because he's all kinds of,
yes,
like, really fun flavors. But, like, sometimes you don't really want that. You just want him
half-baked
to complete the pass over the middle. Yes, that's it. Yep, thank you.
Actually, and that could describe Caleb. Like, I don't mean in a bad way, but he might only be halfway done as far as being coach. He's got 1 year with Ben Johnson.
Well played.
So that's a good one there.
Yeah, we're really good at this.
Yes. Look,
you guys know your ice cream.
Like, ice cream and football, those are the two things I love the most. So the last one here is Jordan Love.
Well, I'm going to use one of my favorites from the Ben and Jerry's realm. And it's oddly appropriate that I would say this. I like Chunky Monkey.
Okay.
Why does that describe Jordan Love?
He's not chunky, though. But he's got, so it's banana-flavored ice cream, and it's got chocolate, but it's also got walnuts, which are kind of healthy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of, he's not vanilla, but he's not like the super different kitchen sink type flavor.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think it's a good one for him.
Okay. Kind of going off that, like Jordan.
Is there a conversational segue from saying Jordan Love is Chunky Monkey? Because if you're about to do it, kudos to you. You should be teaching courses at the university.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I kind of want to like relate this to his personality. So we've kind of talked about it a little bit on our show, but like, how much do you think that his personality kind of goes into his success? And do you think that, like, because from the outside, obviously, you know him best out of all of us. But like from the outside, he seems very calm, very cool demeanor, mm-hmm. like seems like a good team guy, but not necessarily that like leader kind of like he's the guy that the team wants to follow, even though he's the quarterback. But we were kind of talking about it yesterday. Like me as a fan, I would never want him to be what Aaron Rodgers was, where he would roll his eyes mm-hmm. and get mad at people and point at people if they did something wrong. I never want him to be like that. But there is a part of me that feels like he needs to be just a little bit more like, hey, mm-hmm. get it together. Like we want to win. And I don't really see that out of him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I do think he has that in him, and I think he's done it more. I don't think he does it in the same way that Aaron did, so he doesn't show people up mm-hmm. as much. Like, I think he probably gets after guys kind of behind closed doors and kind of want... I think he's... Look, if I was on the Packers, they'd have to expand the roster. But he's the kind of leader that I want. Like, I think he would recognize... And look, by the way, Aaron Rodgers gets such a bad rap. Like, if you look at... I know Evan Cohen told me this morning they had Adam Thielen on, and I should listen to what he had to say about Rodgers. Like, again, those of us that live in the real world and not the NFL world, like, we wouldn't want Ashton Rotman screaming in our face, right?
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers, sometimes that is required in the NFL. It just is. Like, it's a completely different world, so there is not a comp to us living in the world we live in with our jobs. That said, did he go beyond in some instances? Like, he ruined Amari Rodgers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so yes, I think so. Now, on the flip side, and this is why I always think he gets a bad rap, like, Lucas Patrick will tell you all kinds of stories about the two of them having pancakes and how here's a guy who didn't think he belonged in the NFL and ended up, that guy started like over 100 games now in the NFL, right? So I do think his demonstrative showing guys up is a bad look, but I think it also conveys an inaccurate portrayal of the kind of teammate he was and still is. That said, I would not have reacted well to that. Like, I personally would rather have you say, look, I need more from you, or I'm really disappointed that you're not working hard, or whatever it might be, because I'm motivated by that. And mm-hmm. I think what Jordan does well is I think he connects with guys and understands that I have to be true to my leadership. But sometimes some guys need an arm around their shoulder, and sometimes they need a kick in the butt. And I think he just does it in a different way than Aaron did. But Aaron was really good at it, and so is he. I would say this. He is boring with us. There's no doubt about it. And, like, when his now wife came and talked to Sid's volleyball team, like, she joked about how, she's this effervescent personality, and how we kind of joked about, can you get that to rub off on Jordan a little bit? And he that's not how he is with us. But again, I would say that I bet he is very different with his teammates, and it doesn't matter how he is with me. It matters how he is with Jaden Reed and Josh Jacobs and, Xavier McKinney on the other side of the ball. And I think those guys, kind of like with Micah Parsons posting, there ain't 71 better players in the NFL than Jordan Love. I think those guys are pretty darn loyal to him for that.
Wait, so last question. Were you the, like, hookup between getting Ronica and to your daughter's volleyball team? Or, like, who was the liaison there?
I was. Because okay. Jordan and I would stand, like, one of the things that I love about my job is that, like, I work the locker room, first of all. Like, we get 45 minutes a day, and I want to be super productive. But occasionally on Fridays, there's not a lot of guys in there, and you end up just standing and kind of shooting the breeze. And Jordan and I talked more volleyball, neither of us really knowing much about it, right? With as a parent and as a boyfriend at the time. And he brought it up at one point. He's like, Ronica's around if you wanted to have her come and talk to Sid's team.
So
like,
cool.
I think we can probably make time for her. Yeah. So now we'll have to circle back. Sid will have to do some babysitting or something.
There you go.
Jason, awesome stuff as always. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys, thanks for accommodating me. Have a good one. Take care. Be good.